coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online and I'm live with you today. Good to be with you today. I got a new microphone. Let me adjust some things very quickly here. Bring up the gain just a little bit so you can hear me. Good to be with you today. I've got a lot to talk about. We're going to continue with our study on the book of Daniel. But I'm going to make it relevant to things that are going on right now. I am very grieved in my heart at what's taking place in our country right now. I am just beside myself, tore up. The extreme liberal left in this country has blood on their hands, and I mean every one of them. All of the politicians, all of the news media who are liberal left, all of the college professors, students, housewives, members of the clergy and their churches, blood on their hands. And as of now, the blood of policemen and first responders on their hands over these riots. That's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to make it relevant to Daniel chapter 2, because there's a theme there. One of the reasons I think why the Bible is written the way it is, you know, like Paul talked about his thorn. He didn't specify exactly what it was. And I think that's for a reason. I think the purpose of that is so that those who read the Bible, look at that, study the Bible, study what thorns represent in the Bible, and then it has multiple applications to it. And I like that. I like that the Bible is sort of, and not just, you know, where people make up their own application or make up their own idea of what thorns might represent, or they go to some other source other than the Bible. Stick with the Bible, because you've got plenty there to tell you what a thorn would represent in your life or in somebody else's life or in Paul's case, his life. So it just kind of leaves it open like that. And as with Daniel chapter 2, there are many biblically based applications for what we see in that fourth kingdom with the iron mixed with miry clay. And I want you to think of those two substances and how they're applied biblically. And we'll get into that in a little bit. I got a letter. Appreciate all the birthday well wishes. I am now officially 54 years old. And still not grown up yet. And I refuse to grow up. And I appreciate all the prayers for Sweetie Pie. She is at home today recovering, and doing well. So, you continue to pray for her. What she has been through with this cancer battle. I said it Sunday, it just, she's my hero. There's no doubt about it. What she has endured, what she has gone through, as far as the cancer is concerned, getting rid of it, losing part of her womanhood as a result of it. And I look up to her. I would not have, for me to go through that much pain and suffering, I would have folded a long time ago. I know that. So I appreciate your, when you say you're praying for my wife, you have no idea what that means to me. I mean, it means the world to me for you to be thinking of her. And I appreciate that. We also, let me announce this. We had food left over in Kenya. We had some corn flour left over. And I believe some oil. Enough for about another maybe 60 or 70 households. So we talked about it. We bought more beans to go with that. And we were able to then to distribute the remainder of the corn flour and the things that we had left over with the beans added to it. And all you have to do is look at those pictures, and it'll just knock your socks off. I went through some of those Sunday morning, and you can go to even if you're not a member of Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/PastorMichaelOnline. And let me say this. Sermon Audio has been having some problems with the number of churches that have signed on to do streaming as well. It's overwhelmed them. So there's been some problems with Sermon Audio. And you can get our broadcasts, our live broadcasts, also on Facebook, even if you're not a member of Facebook. You don't have to log in. If you go to facebook.com/PastorMichaelOnline, that's all one word, it will take you to a Facebook fan page, they call it, which it's a public page, and you don't have to be a member of Facebook to look at that. And you can go back and look at our live services. And if you want to go back and look at Sunday service, you'll see the images that I put up on the screen of the different people that we fed and so on. If you see people laying down in those pictures, they're not laying down because they're lazy. They're laying down because they cannot walk. And had this, you got to look at the blessings. Had this COVID virus not taken over and forced everybody to be quarantined, we would have done another public feeding. However, that would have left out some of the people who really need the food, and that is those who are lame. So with the situation as it is, and forcing us to go out and deliver the food house to house, we were able then to find these people who could not ordinarily or otherwise come out and receive food from our mass gatherings. We were able to go directly to them and to their house or wherever it was that they're sleeping at night. In some cases, no house to sleep in. It gets me. It does. And, you know, I'm not going to say a whole lot right now, but we are looking at ways that maybe we can help the individual churches in the areas where our radio station broadcasts, because they're not able to have service. They don't have the government we have in this country. And I'm going to speak on that. I am ticked off at some liberal Dem governors in this country. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. They ought to be charged with treason, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, they're not. Some of the churches are not able to meet and hold services, and they're struggling. The Bible talks about on the first day of the week that God's people are to come and bring in their offerings. And these churches are not able to do that. And I am praying about a way to help them out. God's blessed us. Even with this coronavirus, God has blessed our church. And I just don't think it's right for me to sit here, benefit off of those blessings, while men who are just as dedicated to the Lord, my knowledge of them and their suffering, my conscience won't let me just sit and do nothing about it. So just pray for them. Okay?
Well, is that all we do is just pray? I mean, you know, just pray?
Yeah. Yeah. What's wrong with prayer? Why doesn't prayer have any weight with God? Who said that? I'll tell you somebody who said that. Rick Warren said that. Rick Warren wrote in The Purpose-Driven Church, and I'm paraphrasing it, but Rick Warren said in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, we should not think that prayer alone will bring about a lively and fruitful and productive church. What are you, nuts? What are you, the Antichrist, Rick Warren? Come on! How do you think God moves among his people? People pray and ask God for it. And then God moves. But he said that because he's selling books that are designed to promote his workshops and these pastoral training sessions and do what I do, dumb down the service, play rock and roll, give lost people what they demand. Don't preach sin to them because that might hurt their feelings. That's why he said that. Guy's an antichrist. Let me read a letter that came in. There's no identity to it. There's no one signed their name to it. And with everything that's going on, and I want to address again all of you people who do nothing but dig up the new conspiracy theories that are floating around on the internet. Find something better to do with your time. Because this, we should not forget nor lose sight of what is really important. Let me share this with you. Dear Pastor, I'm sending this by way of Kansas. Aha! We know they live in Kansas. It shouldn't be hard to find them now. Which cornfield in Kansas do you live in? Anyway, I was listening to the Red River Conference, specifically the Rapture. The devil was trying to clean my clock. That's an American phrase meaning, what does it mean? Really trying to, I'm going to use another American phrase, rake me over the coals. Which means to really agitate you, to provoke you to sin, disobey God in some way. That's kind of what it means. The devil's really trying to clean my clock. Vile harassment. I've been there before. So quickly, I just asked the Lord Jesus for help. Half expecting to patiently wait for the Lord. Then you began the altar call. Jesus took me back to the day of the joy of my salvation, July 1975. He's quoting Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Where the Lord, where the love story that Jesus began in me, restore was the word I was given then, Psalm 51, 52, 53. Psalm 51 is David's prayer because of his sin with Bathsheba. The love he showed me was strange to me back then, a young Catholic girl. But nonetheless, I spent a good part of the night weeping in joy, that's Psalm 32, and realizing how much he loved me back then when I was so clueless. Lots of trials, failures, etc., etc. Abilene, Texas, 1975. The details are not important but to me, but I just wanted you to know how much your Bethel Church people mean to me. I've been listening to you from the first tape I got called the Bilderbergers, I think. The love that Jesus poured out to me from that tape, the Rapture, has strengthened my faith. The devil has tried very hard to mock me right into hell. That's his job, and he does it pretty well. My name and all that is just not important. weeping in joy instead of weeping for help. Singing songs I haven't sang in years, but the Lord Jesus was singing to me and pouring in me and loving me in a way I could never imagine before. I'm still in shock. But anyway, thank you, dear pastor and Bethel Church. Folks, don't lose sight. Do not lose sight of what really is important. What really is important is loving people and giving them the gospel so that they can be saved from the wrath that is sure to come. If we believe the Bible's right, and it is, then the main focus of the Bible is the redemption of lost man. Every prophecy, every doctrine, everything that is contained in the Bible is to draw men everywhere to know and understand God just in a simple way so that they can be saved from His wrath. That's what the loving God sent down from heaven to us. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus is all about. You want it? You say you know Jesus? You say you know prophecy? You say you know what's going to happen in the end times? I'm telling you, what's on Jesus' mind right now is saving one more soul, one more lost person from the flames of the eternal lake of fire. That's what's important to God. Don't ever lose sight of that. Even this prophecy of the fourth kingdom that Daniel spells out, and the kingdoms that he sees in that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, the whole point of that is to bring in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. Well, that kingdom is built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and those who will populate His kingdom are those who are saved. How are we saved? Through the Gospels. It starts with the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't ever lose sight of that. A lot of people are getting caught up in minutiae and distractions. Because like I said, you're very keen on the newest conspiracy idea. And don't get me wrong, I study conspiracy theories and conspiracies that are not theories. When the Bible lays out a clear view of things that are going on, the term conspiracy theory, the way it's used now means, oh, it's make-believe fantasy world. You believe in conspiracy theories. You must be a nut job. Listen, I believe in the conspiracies that are clearly revealed in the scriptures. And so should you. But I want to reiterate something by putting it up on the screen. If I can find my mouse pointer. Take a look at this. Think Bible. Now that just popped into my head one day. It's sort of the theme of what I do. Everything I do is to promote you digging into the Word of God. That's what I want. That's what I think God wants. Think Bible. And we run across all of this stuff on the internet that people are trying to sell you. Ideas they're trying to sell you. Conspiracy theories they're trying to sell you. False flag items and crisis actors and this and that and the other. I told my wife yesterday, you know, I'm waiting for the videos to pop up on YouTube that says there really was no guy by the name of George Floyd. That was there, you know, and all somebody has to do is make a video. I could do this. I could make a video and say, you know, I looked all through the population registers. What was that? Where was that? Ohio? Atlanta? Somewhere? Where was he? Where was George Floyd? Minneapolis. Minnesota, okay? I went through the population registers in Minneapolis. Did you know there's no such person as George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota? He never existed. All I have to do is make a video of that and put that out there. And within a few days, thousands of people all over the world believe that there really was no person ever living in Minneapolis by the name of George Floyd. They would believe it. They would believe it because it fits their narrative, the idea that the media lies about every single thing that comes out of their mouth. Now, I believe the media lies a lot. But to promote a fake news item about George Floyd, to make up every single detail about it, in hopes that no one would ever figure it out, you'd have to have thousands of people in on it, and they'd all have to be quiet, all have to not say a word. And this just doesn't make sense. I'm waiting for that video to come out. To be honest, and I'm waiting, and then to link it with things like the earth is flat, and we're living under the Mandela effect, and all of these things that have popped up on the internet that have scared people to death, that there is no basis in reality to it whatsoever. None. And yet people believe it. They fall for it. And so my point in everything that I do is, if you can't find it in the Bible, move on. Move on. Look at something else. Spend your time doing something else, doing something productive for God's kingdom, rather than focusing on every little thing that comes across the internet. I'm just saying, be careful. My whole point in everything is, I've warned about this before. It's the boy who cried wolf. The boy who cried wolf, he said, wolf, wolf, the wolves are all about. The neighbors searched from noon to nine, but of the beast there was no sign. And yet wolf, he cried next morning when the neighbors came out again. You keep crying wolf, and everybody goes looking, and there's no wolf. The next time you cry wolf, it doesn't matter if the wolf has got you by the right arm or not. They're not coming out because you've lied so many times they don't believe you. And then you complain, I don't have family members. My family members don't believe a word I say. I try to warn them all the time. They don't believe anything I say. It's their fault. No, part of that is on you. Part of that is on you because you promoted things that were just not true. Under the guise of, well, I'm trying to warn them. I'm the watchman on the wall. And I'm so dangerous, the government's tried to kill me three times. Stuff like that. Now, let's talk Bible, okay? I keep saying it, let's do it. Let's look up on the screen. I talked about this years ago, the Hegelian dialectic. Now, let me explain a little bit about what that is and how it works. And believe it or not, it's not mentioned. You're not going to find, you know, Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, and the Hegelian dialect shall be in effect. You're not going to find any verse like that in the Bible. But when I explain what the Hegelian dialectic is, you'll be able to find the core of it in the scriptures, the source of it. What is it all about? What is it really there for? Simply put, the Hegelian dialectic is a way to transform a society or a nation or a cause. Oh, it's a method of transformation. And the idea was, I think, promoted by, let me pull up the Wikipedia article on the Hegel. I've got several articles here. Let me pause that. I tried to pause it. Here we go. Where is it? Hegelian dialectic. That's Antifa. Let me, and I'm going to show you some things about Antifa here in just a little bit. Let me go to Wikipedia again. Hegelian dialectic, there we go. The article on that at Wikipedia is a Hegelian dialectic is, that's not what I wanted. I don't want anything about the Book of Revelation or some stupid group. Hang on a second. Let me go back here. Hegelian dialectic. There we go. Also known as the dialectical method is at base a discourse between two or more people holding different points of view about a subject but wishing to establish the truth through reasoned methods of argumentation. It takes on various forms, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Hegelian dialectic usually presented in a threefold manner was stated by Heinrich Moritz Schallibaus as comprising three dialectical stages of development, a thesis giving rise to its reaction, an antithesis or antithesis, which contradicts or negates the thesis, and the tension between the two being resolved by means of a synthesis. Let me explain what that is. George William Friedrich Hegel, sort of the author, the mastermind of this idea. So let me explain it in simple terms. Okay, let's say that I want to change. Let's say I take a church, and I get to that church, and that church is all King James, and I'm using real scenarios because there was a forum I read years ago of Free Will Baptist pastors. And it was a forum basically for them and, you know, on how, you know, to pastor this church, how to pastor that church, how to do this, how to do that. And one of the forum topics was how to get a King James only church away from the King James Bible. And I'm not kidding you. This was like 20 years ago when I found this. And so this pastor who I knew at the time piped in and said, this is how I did it. He had taken a church, I think it was in Oklahoma, he had taken a church, and it was a church mainly of older folk, and they all used the King James Bible, which made it irritated him. It bothered him. Now, if I were to leave Bethel and go to some other church, I would tell the board of that church or the hiring committee or whoever I got to answer to who's looking for a pastor, I would say, look, I only use the King James. Don't ever ask me to use any other translation. I will never do it. And I'm going to promote the King James as often as possible if I become pastor of this church. Now, they may either say, hey, that's great. That's what we're looking for. Or see you later, alligator after wild crocodile. Don't call us. We'll call you. I mean, I would up front say, this is who I am, this is what I do. But this guy took this church knowing that they were all King James. But in his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to change that. So he says, this is what I did. And I want you to understand, let's do it like this. Here's the King James. Let me get full screen here. Here's the King James, and here's all the other translations. And a church is either going to be one or the other. But they can't be both. So, one is true, I believe, and all these other ones are full of missing verses, half verses gone, all kinds of false translations, and so on. So, these two are diametrically opposed to one another. They are opposites. This is where we're going with this. They are opposites. This is thesis. This is its antithesis or antithesis. It's exact opposite. So here's what this pastor did. He said, what I did was, I knew they all had King James, and I knew that they probably, if I just said, everybody lay your King James down, I'm giving everybody an NIV, and that's what we're going to use today, that they probably would have voted him out. So the little snake pastor said, what I did was I started preaching, and then after a while when they got accustomed to me, in the sermon I would say, now verse 3 says this in the King James, however, the Greek word here, blah, 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 is really a better way of saying this particular Greek word is blue, blue, blue. So you would give something, an alternate translation that was not in the King James. And the people are going, really? Because, you know, my Bible says this. But he went to Bible college. He studied Greek. Maybe he knows. So it's introduced into those people's minds an antithesis, an idea that their Bible is wrong. Their Bible is wrong. What he's done is introduced leaven into unleavened bread. If we believe the Bible is 100% right, and somebody comes along and is able to convince us that just one verse in our Bible is in error, what does the Bible say about that? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So, once that idea gets planted in somebody's mind, well, if this verse is wrong, and yet the Bible says that no verses can ever be wrong, but and yet I'm looking at it, and this verse is, I believe it's clearly wrong, then maybe other verses are wrong, and maybe the Bible doesn't mean what it says. When it says that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So maybe the Bible doesn't mean that. Maybe it means something else. So now, they believe a new synthetic doctrine. Something that the Bible does not ever say. And it goes like this. Well, maybe when the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, maybe it only applies to, like, say, the original manuscripts. And then after that, you know, maybe our Bibles can be wrong a little bit, but it's still the Word of God. That's all you have to do. That's it. You're done. The Hegelian dialectic worked. It worked. It got you out of where you were and what you believed. See, this idea of thesis and antithesis. Thesis says, this is how I see the world. This is what I believe. This is what I'm firm in. The Hegelian dialectic automatically assumes that thesis can be wrong because it brings up its exact opposite, which says the opposite is right. Let's go to Genesis 3 and look for that very thing. Where is my Pure Bible Search song? Here we go. Genesis 3, that is exactly, I mean exactly, what Lucifer did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He introduced the idea that what God said could be wrong. So he says, Eve said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Concerning the fruit that's in the midst, on the tree in the midst of the garden. The devil said, the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Thesis is what God said, the day ye eat thereof, then ye shall surely die. That's thesis. Eve is the target of the Hegelian dialectic. So now she's been introduced to its exact opposite. Ye shall not surely die. Oh, well, God said that I would die, but the serpent said that I would not die. Those are two opposite ideas. And you can't believe both can exist in the same space at the same time in this universe. You just can't do it. You can't say, I 100% believe everything that God said, and then say, I don't believe everything God said. You can't be both. No man can serve, what? Two masters. That's thesis and antithesis. You can't believe both of them. If you say you believe both of them, one of them's a lie. But see, the Hegelian dialectic assumes that both are not telling quite the truth. So what we do is, we get both of them in a room together, we let them fight it out, and through that conflict, out comes the synthesis, a new doctrine, a new way of looking at things, a new view of the world, a new world. Cue the music. We need music for that one. That's what the Hegelian dialectic is all about. Let me show you the areas that would be applied in. Okay? So you have an agenda. The agenda is synthesis. You want something different. So there is the idea, there is its exact opposite. When they clash and arguments are presented, the fusion of those two together will produce synthesis, which is the agenda. So let me show it to you in politics. The Communist Party of Russia, Marx, Lenin, who was it? Joseph Engels of Germany. They had this idea, we're gonna take over the government of Russia. So in order to do that, what we need to do is we need to destroy Russia the way it is now. We need to completely destroy it. Russia was ruled over by a czar. That word czar is a derivative of the word Caesar. And so is Kaiser. Germany had Kaisers. Rome had Caesars. Russia had czars. All right? So the czar of Russia was like the supreme king of the emperor of Russia. And he was this rich oligarch. And he had all these rich oligarch families that ruled over everybody in Russia. And then you had, basically, you didn't have a middle class. You had the peasants. And you had the ultra-rich, and that was it. So, all Lenin and Marx and whoever was leading this revolution, all they had to do was stir up both sides. Stir up the peasants. Stir up the oligarchs, the rich, powerful families who were ruling over Russia. All you had to do is stir them both up, get them to fight each other, destroy the system that existed in Russia. Once it was destroyed, you have a void. You have to fill it with something. They filled it with communism. And communism took over. So you had the fusion of opposites. You had the thesis of the political powers that were ruling over Russia. You had their exact opposite, the peasants. So you stirred them both up, got them both to clash. You destroyed Russia how it used to be. Now you have a new Russia, which is the Soviet Union. And it didn't work. Communism doesn't work. It will never work. So that's how the Hegelian dialect works in politics. Economics, social values, anything that you want to change. So let's take social values, okay? Let's say that let's take our nation, America. And during the days of World War II and then post-World War II, the 40s and the 50s, you have these social norms that rule supreme in America. Homosexuality is an evil sin. Pregnancy before marriage is an evil sin. Fornication of any kind, sexual misconduct of any kind, is wrong. These are social norms. The family unit of a father, a mother, and their children residing together in a home is a wholesome idea that comes from the Bible. So we're going to destroy that. That's what whoever's behind the scenes, we need to destroy that. We need to bring America down because America is a power. They've already proven that. They won World War II, and so America can't be defeated in a war. So we need to defeat America internally. The power of America is its morality. America is the good guys. So, let's change the morality of America. You have wholesome families, you have wholesome views of what a man should look like, what a woman should look like, how they should dress. There is no immodesty of any kind allowed in societal norms, small town America. It just didn't exist. Let's introduce Hugh Hefner into the American way of life. And that's what happened. Hugh Hefner all of a sudden starts promoting mainstream pornography, nudity, lust, things that were forbidden all over the country now. So you have thesis, American morality, American standards of public decency, dress, what's appropriate. Then you take its opposite, Hugh Hefner, Playboy magazine. And so what happens is, over time, societal norms and what is deemed appropriate changes. Compare 1950s America with 1970s America, just 20 years later. All because, it wasn't just Hugh Hefner. It was Hugh Hefner, Elvis Presley, the Beatles, rock and roll, television. Compare 60s television with 70s television. They're opposite, complete opposites. Compare 50s television with 70s television. Complete opposites. Designed to destroy the moral supremacy of a country. And it worked. It worked well. So now we have sodomites everywhere. And I mean everywhere. Hegelian dialectic. Let's apply that in religion. So let's say, and I've used this illustration before. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days, and according to the lineages given in the Bible and the number of years of those lineages, we can trace it back. Bishop Unger traced it back to somewhere around 4004 BC. It was the date of creation. And that was firmly believed until who? Charles Darwin introduced its opposite. That God is not the creator of the universe. God is not the creator of this world. And it definitely wasn't created 6,000 years ago. It showed up by way of natural change that takes place. Evolution. These are two exact opposites. They clash. Out of that, you get a new doctrine called theistic evolution. That yes, that we still believe in a God, we still believe he created everything, but God must have created everything over billions of years, meaning the Bible doesn't really mean 6 literal days. Even though it says it, it doesn't literally mean that. You're taking a literal approach, and that's the wrong approach when you're looking at the Bible. The Bible is merely symbolic, and therefore we're right. So now you have people literally all over the world believing in theistic evolution. The Hegelian dialectic did that. Back when I first became pastor of Bethel, back in my brief liberal experimental years, I hate to talk about it, but what I was going to do is I was going to try these, what was trending back then was the small group Bible study. And I thought, well, that's biblical. Doing Bible studies, that's biblical. That's the right thing to do. But the way they were being done then and the way they're being done now, pretty much the same thing, is that in these new Bible studies, you don't have someone who represents an authoritative figure in these Bible studies. You have someone who is a facilitator or a moderator, but not a teacher. There can be no absolutes, because the idea is, in these Bible studies, you will have people who have been in church most of their life, and then you will have what they call seekers. Now, the seekers are there, but they won't stay there if we start giving them absolutes. So the facilitator of these Bible studies would say things like, now, you keep saying you use the King James, but we use other translations here, and we have some people who haven't been brought to the idea that God is true anyway, so we don't want to offend them. So we can't have your absolutes in this Bible study. Some of you who are listening to me know that you've experienced this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You've lived it. You sat in a Bible study, and when you said, no, wait a minute, the King James says this, they say, well, we can't have that in this Bible study. Other people have other translations, and we need to honor, that we need to respect them. So, out you go. There's a man came to me who was put out of his position at his church, Assembly of God Church, where he was a youth pastor. His pastor, he had a class on Wednesday night with the teens, and the pastor said, I told you, you're never to use that King James here ever again. Put him out. That's how it works. So, in these Bible studies, the object, the goal, is not necessarily to bring people to the knowledge of Christ that the church people have. It's to change both groups to a new synthetic doctrine and a new synthetic religion. So the people who are entrenched in Bible doctrine and know their stuff, they can't bring up these absolutes in this Bible study because that might offend the seekers. So we're going to use the Hegelian dialectic here, and the moderator or the facilitator is going to say, well, you know, we can't really have that absolute, but let's find out from this lost person what he believes about it. And the object is to get both groups into agreement with each other. So that the staunch church member who knows doctrine and believes what he believes and the lost person now are in agreement with each other. This fundamentalist Bible believer now has left his fundamentalist viewpoints and has changed his doctrine. And that's how it happens. And it works. It works amazingly well. Now, I'm going to show you, and people, I'm telling you, there has been some very, very horrible things taking place in this country. These are some of the riots that took place. This is from Sean Hannity last night. This is in Chicago. I don't know if you, I'm having problems with the sound anyway on, I don't know what's wrong with my computer today. So you can't hear the sound, which some of the videos I'm going to show you, I would have turned the sound down anyway because they're laced with profanity. But folks, what's happening in our country, you're not seeing it on the screen. Hang on a second. There we go. What's happening in our country right now is the Hegelian dialect at work. This stopped, and everybody's in agreement, this stopped being about George Floyd a long time ago. Like after the first night of protest, it stopped being about him and it started being about the destruction of the United States of America as it is and our Constitution as it is right now. And people, our Constitution is what's holding back evil from destroying this nation to begin with. Our Bill of Rights guaranteeing us the right to keep and bear arms and guaranteeing us the right to freely assemble in our churches without government imposing its laws or its clutches over us, the right for us to believe in our God and worship that God in the way that our God tells us to, those are guaranteed by the Constitution. These animals and thugs are out on the streets tearing down our cities in an attempt to destroy the Constitution of the United States of America. And I'm going to show you some things. Let me find my Twitter account. Because, here it is. Let me show you some of the things that have come as a result of Antifa, their socialist or their destruction agenda in this country. Let me see here. Let me go back to, man, I got a lot to show you. Hang on a second. Let me put this, come on. Let me put this on this screen here. Let me go to my tweets. I've retweeted several articles today and several videos that have come up in the last 24 hours. So, let me go back to, let's see here. This happened in St. Louis overnight from our, let's see here. That's just a picture. Where's the video? Here we go. One News Network. Four St. Louis officers were shot last night by protesters. Cops came under fire in St. Louis last night. There was a gun battle. This is deliberate, people. This is scary. Now, St. Louis is like Minneapolis and Chicago and New York. We have a liberal Democrat governor, or excuse me, a liberal Democrat mayor over the city of St. Louis. And they're letting them burn the city to the ground. That's insane. And all because they don't want to be seen as offending anybody. No backbone, no spine whatsoever. When liberal Democrats tell you that they're all about life and liberty, and so they are lying through their teeth. They are allowing the destruction of legitimate businesses, legitimate forms of government, legitimate police powers. They are allowing the destruction of those very things that hold our societies together. They're allowing the destruction of that and not doing anything about it. It angers me. And I mean, it does. It really gets me fired up. Let's see here. There is Las Vegas rioter shoots police officer in the head from behind. Check this out. Rioter shoots police officer in the head from behind. Las Vegas Sheriff Joseph Lombardo told a press briefing an officer was shot around 11 p.m. Monday night and is in critical condition and on life support at University Medical Center. He was jumped, and so were these police officers in St. Louis. They were jumped from behind. They were called out to a scene, and basically, what's the word I'm trying to think of here? What's the word I'm wanting to use? Like a sucker punch. But that's not the word I'm trying to think of. But that's what happened. They were called out to a scene, these four St. Louis police officers, and they were jumped from behind and shot. Here we have a Las Vegas police officer shot in the head from behind, execution style. Las Vegas, liberal Democrat governor over the state of Nevada, allowing this to happen, not calling in the state militia or the National Guard to put law and order on the streets. To me, that's sedition and treason. Now, I am 100% behind the President of the United States order. Now, I did not say I'm 100% behind the President of the United States. What I said is I'm 100% behind the President of the United States order to call Antifa, which I'll explain what that is in a minute, as a terrorist organization, because that is exactly what they are. A terrorist organization, which means that everybody who is involved in Antifa is labeled by the U.S. government a terrorist, and everybody who funnels money to that organization to be used to promote terror on the streets is also guilty of funding terrorism and can have their bank accounts closed and their run for public office, their campaign funds. Because Joe Biden is using campaign funds to bail members of Antifa who are arrested out of jail. That now has been declared illegal in this country, as it should be. What else was I going to show you? Here's some more rioting. Let me pull that up. Protests in Washington, D.C. They're moving into people's houses. This is a guy in his house filming the rioters coming to his house. And notice, I think the guy is showing the rioters that he's black, so they leave him alone. Absolutely insane what's going on. Let me close that out. Let's see here. Yes, here's Donald Trump. Yesterday was a bad day for the Cuomo brothers. New York was lost to the looters, thugs, radical left, and all other forms of lowlife and scum. The governor refuses to accept my offer of dominating National Guard. New York City was ripped to pieces. Likewise, Frito's ratings are down 50%. Sean Hannity tweeted out today, more chaos in New York City. Rioters clash with police. Hundreds of looters strike Manhattan, Bronx, Brooklyn. Hundreds of looters strike Lower Manhattan for a second straight night Monday, striking stores in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Midtown Manhattan, hours after the protesting death of George Floyd in Minneapolis last week. This is not about George Floyd. It's not. It's about the Hegelian dialect, the left starting the race wars and the riots in the streets, burning down stores, killing cops, burning down government buildings. Starting a war. There was a tweet. Let's see here. Oh my goodness, I got to show you this. Police chief breaks down after fire crews blocked from burning I can't get any volume. I don't know why I'm not hearing any volume. But anyway, it's absolutely pathetic. The story is the chief of Richmond, Virginia Police Department said Sunday that rioters set fire to a multifamily home with a child inside while blocking access for firefighters to get through to save the child. Richmond Police Chief William Smith said one incident that is particularly poignant that truly illustrates the seriousness of the issues we're facing. Last night, protesters intentionally set fire to an occupied building on West Broad Street. This is not the only occupied building that has been set fire to in the last 2 days, but they prohibited us from getting on the scene. We had to force our way to make a clear path for the fire department. The protesters intercepted the fire apparatus several blocks away with vehicles and blocked that fire department's access to the structure fire. Inside that home was a child. And you know what? They don't care. They don't care. They don't care who they kill. They don't care what they burn down. And they're being, and most of the Antifa protesters are being paid to do this. Where do you think the money's coming from? Face false social media coverage of the protest provoking the racial flame. Minnesota Governor Walz opposes using force on rioters amid ongoing looting, destroyed properties. Liberal Democratic governor of Minnesota, liberal Democratic mayor in Minnesota and Minneapolis, liberal Democratic sheriff in that county, and all of the county officials, all the city officials, liberal Democrats who are refusing to set up National Guard forces to stop. This is not protest. This is sedition and treason against the people and the Constitution of the United States of America. It's not about George Floyd. Now, I watched part of the video. I couldn't make myself watch all of it. Because watching a man die, that's not easy to do. And folks, again, don't be distracted by the minutia. You're going to have fake news on the right and the left try to sell you a scenario that was a crisis actor. The real George Floyd. Did you know he had a nobody knew he had a twin brother. All of a sudden he's got a twin brother. So what does that mean? That he's, and I guarantee you somebody's going to try to sell the idea that the real George Floyd is not dead, that nobody was killed. These were crisis actors. And this was done, so the New World Order, I agree with the New World Order part. But according to some conspiracy theorists, there's never been a crime in America ever. There's never been a mass shooting. No one's ever died from a bullet in America because it was all crisis actors. And I don't buy that. And I don't waste my time looking into it either. Look at the big picture and stick with your Bible, people. Stick with your Bible. Because in the end, it won't be the internet that gives you salvation and hope. It'll be the Word of God. Let's see here. I don't want to listen to Cuomo. There was something somewhere about the stated goals of Antifa. I think I have that. Let me explain Antifa a little bit. Antifa means Anti-Fascist Action Committee. It got its start in Russia and Germany. In Germany, at the time Hitler is starting to take over, you had Hitler represents the extreme. Get this now, Hitler represents the extreme right. As far as Germany was concerned, the Communist Party represented the left in Germany, and the Anti-Fascist Action Movement in Germany was a left organization that basically wanted to turn Germany into a communist state. And Hitler hated communists. I'm not saying Hitler was a good guy. No. He was evil, but so was communism. The anti-fascist group or the Antifa group that's out there now wants the exact same thing for America. Wants to turn it into a communist state. George Soros funnels large amounts of money into organizations like Antifa because he hates America. And yet he's made his billions. Where? In what country? America. Idiot. Hypocrite. That's what these people are. They're hypocrites. Now, this was posted on Twitter. The things that these rioters stand for are enumerated here. Liberation will be won by any means necessary, including an American civil war. Mark my word on this. Number two, we will destroy the state, the police, the military, the corporations, and all those who run the American plantation. Now, it starts out shooting down all white people. According to Antifa, which is mainly white people, all conservative or Republican or whatever Christian white people are slave owners, they're evil racist, and they need to be eliminated off the planet. That's what they stand for. Now, that all sounds, if you are left-leaning whatever, that may sound good to you, but eventually, they're coming after you too. Number three, we will live with dignity in a world without prisons. Are you kidding me? And they mean this. They mean this. They mean to absolutely destroy the criminal justice system of this country. Eradicating judges, destroying all police departments all across the country, and our military. If we have no military supporting the freedoms of this country, we will be taken over quickly. So, who do you think wants this country destroyed by Antifa? Well, let's see. We could start with China. We could then work our way through the Middle Eastern nations, Iran, Syria. They hate us. Probably other nations as well will join in. They want the destruction of the United States of America. To get rid of the criminal justice system, to eliminate all judges, all police forces, and to empty out every prison. So what? So that all the murderers can go back to murdering again? All the child rapists can go back to raping children? That's what they want. Systems of punishment will be abolished. There will be no law to enforce, no money to protect. Do you hear what that says? No law to enforce, no money to protect. They want absolute anarchy and lawlessness. In other words, we want to be able to do whatever we want to do to whoever we want to do it to. This is why they were labeled a terrorist organization. Revolutionary justice will be determined by those who are oppressed. How do you define that? How do you define oppressed? Anybody who's oppressed then will be able to turn on whoever thinks is oppressing them. With no trial, no hearing, no due process of law, nothing. It will basically be an animal state. A beast. Hear the words here. A beast state. Where the beast mindset rules. Number six. Let's see here. There will be no government. No person or group will have power over another. What's interesting is that is the exact same or very close to the statement that Wiccans believe. They believe in no hierarchical authority over them. In other words, they believe that no person can rule over a Wiccan or a witch. There is no authority, no president, no king, no governor, no mayor, no police chief, no sheriff, nothing. Nothing can tell them what to do. That's called rebellion, which is the sin of what? Witchcraft. The Bible's right. Number seven, communities will make decisions about how they live and will make sure that everyone has what they need to live a dignified life. This is communitarianism. In other words, we're going to steal everything. Everything. Steal everything. Give it out to whoever needs it. Don't believe this. By the way, don't believe this nonsense. Don't believe it. These are the most evil thinking people in the world. And what is at the heart of man? Wickedness, murder, deceit. This is where all this is coming from. If you happen to believe in communitarianism, that men can live in a utopia where everything in life is free to take whatever you want, you are messed up in your head. Because what happens is the evil nature of mankind always takes control over the community. And all of a sudden now, that means I can have your wife, I can have your daughter, or I can have your son, or I can have whatever it is that you love. I can take it as my own, and you can't do a thing about it. It's been tried before, people. It doesn't work. Land is not property. It is alive, communal, and must be protected. So let me get back to this thing. If you think that this is a utopia, and it's going to be run well, and it's going to be the dreamland that everybody wants to get to. See, they're going to kill everybody who owns property, land, a house on land. They'll kill them because they are an evil person who owns land, and land is alive. What does this get to? Gaia worship. See, Mystery Babylon the Great's got her fingers in all of this, doesn't she? Let me hit the button on that one. Remember, this is the Hegelian dialect. If you look at all these things and find them abhorrent, it's because they are the exact opposite of biblical values. Christian Bible values. They are the exact opposite of that. Thesis, antithesis. Number nine, alongside international comrades, we will destroy all borders for the free movement of people everywhere. Get rid of all nations. So now what are we talking about? A one world government. Number 10, militant networks will defend our revolutionary communities. Liberation begins where America dies. Now, I've been sharply criticized by people because I have publicly, vocally supported some, I would say many, of the statements made by our president. I don't apologize for it. And now you've got people saying that the president, Donald Trump, is actually the one who's going to bring everybody into a new world order. So we shouldn't side with him. We shouldn't vote for him. He's going to bring the new world order in. Now let me tell you something. The president has sided more often with Bible Christianity than any president, I would say, in my lifetime. I absolutely 100% agree with him on many issues. Not all. Many issues. So what you're saying is, don't vote for Donald Trump. Let Joe Biden win. That's what you're saying. Should we have let Hillary take over our country? I guarantee you, we wouldn't need Antifa if we had Hillary as our president. She would have destroyed this nation, destroyed our rights to carry weapons, destroyed our rights to meet in our churches. She would have done all of that. So what you're asking me to do is not side with what I know to be right in this country. That's what you're asking me to do, and I refuse to do it. You see, and here I am telling you about the Hegelian dialectic. Should I not be on the side of thesis? Should I not be on the side of biblical right and wrong? Should I not be on that side? I am on that side, and I will remain on that side. I'm telling you what's going to happen. What's going to happen is the right side and the wrong side are going to go to war. That's what's going to happen. Sooner or later, it's bound to happen. It happened before in this country. It will sooner or later happen again. Whether it happens this year, next year, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, it's going to happen. And what you're saying is, we shouldn't be on either side. What are you, crazy? I stand for and believe in what's right, and will continue to do so. I can't help it that the devil has introduced an antithesis to what I believe in, and hopes that in clashing the two systems together, that a new world order would come as a result of it. I can't help it. I'm going to stand for what's right. Even if I lose my life, I'm going to stand for what's right. Daniel chapter 2. I will not stand by and let an organization like this to take over my country. I won't do it. I refuse. This is pure evil. This is why what's going on. I got to show you the pallets of bricks. Man, the devil's fighting me on this. There are, I know I tweeted it. There are in these cities, people have taken pictures of pallet after pallet of bricks. Here, right here. Let me show you this. This bus was stopped yesterday at Broad Street and 3rd due to obstruction of traffic. There was a suspicion of supplying riot equipment to rioters. Detectives followed up with a vehicle search today and found bats, rocks, meat cleavers, axes, clubs, and other projectiles. Of course, you take one look at the bus and you're going, yeah, that's liberal left. Yeah, we need to search that. And they were right. Here is the sheriff in Polk County, Florida, saying the people in Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns. And if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with their guns. And I'm going, absolutely. I'm telling everybody, don't you bring your riots down Jefferson County, Missouri. We shoot back. Look at this. This is what I wanted to show you. Take a look. Fayetteville, Cedar Rapids, Fort Myers, Raleigh, Dallas, times 3, New York City. Pallets of bricks and blocks just sitting out for people to throw. Where do you think they came from? One guy, there was a black guy that tweeted out a video he made. He was standing in front of a government building. He said, I'm not going to say what building it is, but I did jury duty in this building 3 months ago, and there's no construction here. Who set this pallet of bricks right in front of this building? Who set this pallet of bricks right in front of this building? And there ain't no construction going on here. Who do you think did that? Somebody bought and paid for them and stuck them there. Now, there's somebody tweeted out a video today, a woman saying that the bricks are from the Acme Brick Company, which is a large manufacturer of bricks in the United States of America. And she said, guess who owns the Acme Brick Company? Who was it? Some big banking group that... I can't think today. What's wrong with my head? Bill Gates used to... Berkshire Hathaway owns the Acme Brick Company. Bill Gates used to be part of that. He stepped down. If you remember, a few months ago, he stepped down from Microsoft Berkshire Hathaway to run his little vaccine company or whatever. So the implication is that the Rockefellers of Berkshire Hathaway and Bill Gates sent bricks to all these cities. Now, I don't necessarily believe that, even though some people retweeted it, some big names retweeted it. I'm not necessarily... Just because the bricks say Acme Brick Company on it doesn't mean that the Acme Brick Company or Berkshire Hathaway sent bricks to all these downtown places for Antifa to throw into buildings. They could have been bought by any number of organizations, okay? But the fact remains that buses, vehicles, things like that have been discovered with terror objects, guns, maces, meat cleavers, bricks, things like that, in conspicuous places in these cities. This is deliberate. A deliberate attempt at overthrowing the United States of America. I don't know when it's going to stop. I don't know when it's going to stop. So let's get to Daniel's vision now and see how this is relevant. Or Nebuchadnezzar's vision. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest, behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Now, understand, and I've taught this many times, but think of thesis and antithesis, and see them then as iron and clay. Yin and yang, light, darkness, strong, weak, opposites. The fact that the toes of this image is composed of a mixture of the two opposites tells me where this idea of the Hegelian dialectic comes from. The Hegelian dialectic is basically the main ideas behind Satan's goal of world domination and heaven domination. Remember, the main conspiracy of all conspiracies in the Bible, you find it in Genesis 3, but you find it in Isaiah 14. The main conspiracy theory. Right, and it's not a theory. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, God says to all of us, pick a side. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Find your master, follow your master. But you can't sit on the sidelines and waiting for all this clashing to go on and not pick a side. If you don't pick God's side, you're automatically on the devil's side. Jesus said it. If they be not for us, they are against us. If they're not directly, if you are not directly connected as the branch into the vine of Christ, if you're not part of his kingdom, you are automatically Satan's kingdom. Automatically. There is no sitting on the sidelines. Pick a side. Pick the right side, I would say. But pick a side. There are no... what am I trying... What's wrong with my English language today? There are no mere observers. There will only be participants. And that's it. So choose a side. Choose a side. Do you want Antifa rioters to come down into your neighborhood? If you don't, if you do, then you're on their side. If you don't, then you must stand against them, because they're not going to stop when you say, hey, I'm not on anybody's side. When they hear that, they're going to burn your house down. Because they are not going to stop doing what they're doing until they either finish their goal of destroying America or they themselves are destroyed. But here's your conspiracy right here. This is it. This is what is happening. This is what is going on. Think Bible in everything. So let me show you Daniel's interpretation of that vision. Verse 42, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly broken. Again, opposites. Strong, weak. Iron, clay. Iron does not, it's not easily bent. So let's say it just represents, it doesn't move, it doesn't bend, it's solid. You can't just take your hands and work it. Whereas clay, you can make it into whatever you want. That's how some people see the Bible. So again, the idea that the Bible is 100% right, and here is the idea that the Bible never is right, those are two opposites. So what happens, what is the synthesis between the two? Well, the Bible is right, but not always. Okay? And that's what, believe it or not, it's what most churches believe. That the Bible is right in most places, but it's not always right. That's a synthetic doctrine that you will never find in the pages of the Bible. So will you stand for the Bible? Will you stand for what's right? Because again, there are no observers in this. There's only participants. You either believe what God said and all of what God said and base every thought, every critique, everything that you see in this world, you see it in the light of scriptures, or you don't. Or you're part of this synthetic view. I see some of what goes on in this world in the light of scriptures, but not all of it. So here's, that's Daniel's interpretation. It says, verse 43, whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So I've taught on this for the last 10 years. I've taught on this. Everything that I've done basically surrounds, as far as I'm concerned, Daniel 2, Isaiah 14, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15. I mean, there's a lot of things. Ephesians chapter 6, there's a lot of things I keep repeating. But there's so many ways to look at this. The idea that the fourth kingdom is going to be a mingled kingdom, partly strong, partly broken. A kingdom divided against itself. And it shall not stand. It won't stand. It's going to be destroyed. But Jesus is going to allow it to happen. He's going to allow it to take place so that he can destroy it all at once. All of these devils that are everywhere, mingled with humanity, evil humanity, he's going to destroy it all at once because they're going to mingle themselves together. Genesis chapter 1. Here's the first time we see an opposite in the Bible. It's Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Those are the first two opposites in the Bible. Light and darkness. God divided them, separated them, intended for them to remain separate from each other. And God called the light, I mean, just think of the number of verses in the Bible that refer to either light or darkness. Light being good, darkness being evil. Israel is in darkness right now, or they're partially blinded right now. Not totally blind, but partially blind. Meaning they cannot see what the types and the shadows of the Old Testament were showing. They were showing Jesus, but they can't see that. So being partially blind is about as good as being totally blind. You still can't see who Christ is. There's only one group that can, and that is those who follow Jesus Christ. The rest, I keep saying this, it's only two religions in the world. The right one and the wrong one. The right religion and everybody else's religion, which basically involves works, or incantations, or large sums of money, or whatever. Impossible things to do. That's what every other religion is full of. And then there's Bible Christianity that says humanity cannot save himself. Never could. God will save him for him. Do and done. But you can't have them both. So God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and evening and the morning were the first day. So 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us that we are children of the day, not of the night. But you can't be both. You can't be both children of the day and the night, which will be a synthetic people, a synthetic breed, a breed of opposites. These are the day-night children. These are the white-black children. These are the good-evil children. See what I'm saying? They can't. It's a synthetic idea. And in God's eyes, if you're not a child of the day, well, there is no middle ground here. You're going to be a child of the darkness. Remember what I said. I keep going back to this. There are no observers in this war. Only participants. Only participants. And just because you decided not to choose a side, well, that just means you chose the wrong side. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Adam and Eve made a choice. Israel had a choice between Jesus and Barabbas. And we have a choice right now between right and wrong. Good and evil. Stand for the side that's good, people. Yes, yes, of course. It's part of Satan's plan. Of course it is. But I don't have a choice. I'm choosing to stand for what's right no matter what. That's what I'm trying to get across to everybody. Doesn't matter how many conspiracy theories are generated. The idea is, I know what's right. I know what's right for me. I know what's right for our church. I know what's right for my family and my home. And if you think I'm going to let Antifa come in to my church and burn my church to the ground and burn my house to the ground and kill my family and my church people, you're crazy. Just because a conspiracy theory was generated that said, oh, we ought to stay away from that. Antifa's not going to stop. I don't think they're going to stop unless they are stopped. And then it'll be found out that they're connected to a lot of things. Did you know Hillary Clinton was supposed to be deposed today? And she had a hearing in the appeals court in Washington, D.C. I listened to the last tail end of it. It was live on YouTube, and I listened to the tail end of it. She's trying to get out of being deposed about those missing emails. Yes, that's still going on. Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch is making sure that still happens. Because these crooked people tried to take over this country and sell it out. And those crooked people need to be punished for what they've done to this nation. I stand for that. 100% I stand for that. Why am I supposed to be opposed to that happening? Why? Deuteronomy 7. This is what God said do. He said, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, 7. Beast has 7 heads. Dragon has 7 heads. 7 nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Don't go to their Bible studies. Don't get involved with them. Don't ask them to come and join and be part of your church. If they don't believe what God said, if they're not for us, then what are they? They are against us. The Bible makes these things clear. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Why? I can tell you why. I'm a grandfather. I can tell you why. Because there's one thing that a parent loves more than his children, and that's his grandchildren. Am I right? Of course I am. I've got 15 grandchildren. Woo! One of them is safe in heaven already. So God said, you know, you get into Canaan land, you let your daughter marry the Canaanite guy's son. You see that grandkid, you hold that grandchild, are you going to hate the Canaanites anymore? No. See, the idea of the Jews mingling with the Canaanites, that's the Hegelian dialectic. Now they're not God's people, they're synthetic. Which, the synthesis and the antithesis are one and the same in God's eyes. That's how God sees it. God doesn't see synthesis. He sees black or white. Light and darkness. Yin and yang. He sees opposites and he sees that they're to be separated. And if your daughter marries a Canaanite boy, your grandchild is no longer a Jew. That's how God sees it. That's how God sees it. So God told him, don't make a covenant with them. Don't show mercy to them. And for God's sake, don't let your children marry them. Don't do it. They'll turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So how does God see it? Am I right? Yep. God sees it. It's light and darkness. It's that simple. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Remember I mentioned the Hegelian dialect in the small group Bible studies. where in the Bible study there are no absolutes, there's no right and no wrong. We're going to let everybody speak equally. We're going to assume that every idea is valid. And we're going to take the opposites in this group, those who have been in church all their lives and know the Bible doctrine and know the Bible and they believe the Bible, and those who don't. And we're not going to bring them over to our side. We're going to change both of them into a new synthetic church, synthesized church. That's what we're going to do. We're going to yoke together believers with unbelievers. Churches that have known sodomites serving in their various positions in the church, knowing that they're living in blatant disregard to Scripture, saying to themselves, well, if we show them love, then they'll come around. No, what's going to happen is they're going to subvert God's people. They're going to put leaven in unleavened bread. And God said, purge it out. So, I mean, that's another opposite, right? Leavened bread, unleavened bread. They're not the same. A pure Bible versus a lying Bible. Full of errors, full of missing words, full of mistranslated things, full of the son of the gods being with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego instead of the son of God. One of them's telling the truth, one of them's lying. You know what you get when you mix false translations of the Bible with the King James? You get the New King James Bible. Because that's exactly what their goal was. It's a synthetic Bible. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Absolutely none. So Antifa is unrighteousness. Whose side are you going to be on? Are you going to fight them? If Antifa comes, starts moving into the suburbs and moving into the country, because they destroyed the cities, so now they're going to move down into the burbs. You're just going to observe as they pass by? Hope they don't burn your house down? Are you going to do something? Are you going to love your neighbor as yourself? When you see them burning your neighbor's house down, you going to love your neighbor? See, that's what they did in Nazi Germany. You had a bunch of Germans who weren't really okay with killing all these Jews and shutting down their businesses, but they were afraid that they would be labeled a Jew lover, and so they just let it go. So the Nazi party stuck labels on all these Jews, got the rabbis. That was, I can't think of names today. He was tried in Israel for the only one to be tried in Israel for the war crimes. And he talked all the rabbis into loading the Jews into the rail cars themselves. Okay? And everybody's watching these Jews get on these rail cars. And they're not saying a word about it. They're not standing against it. These are their neighbors. And they're doing nothing for them. So you're going to let Antifa just take over our country and destroy it? Is that what you're going to do? Is that what you stand for? Is that what you believe in? We still have a constitutional republic that allows us to preach the gospel in this world. And we have a direct threat against it in the form of the liberal left, the liberal media, who is shaming everybody else and supporting Antifa. So, you just going to let that happen? Be an observer? No. I can't let it just happen. They'll take away our right to preach what is important. That is the gospel. They'll take that away. And I can't just stand and let them do it. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Devil tried to get Jesus into a concord. Hey, won't you turn these stones to bread? Hey, won't you worship me? I'll give you all the kingdoms. Look at all these kingdoms. Past, present, future, I give them to y'all because I do own them. He tried to get him into an agreement, and Jesus refused to do it. I think God's laying it on my heart for this Sunday to preach a message about losing our life for God's kingdom. And it may be hard to preach. But I think, people, it's time to arm ourselves that way. About the possibility of losing our life for God's kingdom. That's not easy to take. It's not easy to talk about. God's put it in us to preserve life and to preserve our own. It's a natural reaction. When we fall, automatically, we were doing this as babies. That's one of the tests they give to babies, is to see how well their fall responses react. It's a natural instinct for us when we fall to catch ourselves to prevent us from being damaged to death. It's in us to live. And yet, we have to make a decision on how that life is going to go. Because one of the devil's tools is fear. If you don't surrender to me, I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'll kill you all. Oh, we don't want him to kill us, so we better surrender. And that's our nature. But then, what kind of life are we going to live after that? Now that we've surrendered, what kind of life do we have? You think it's a wise idea for Antifa to let all the criminals out of prison and destroy all the prisons and destroy all the police? You think that's a good idea? No. Then you're going to have to pick a side. A side, hopefully, that will stand and defend itself against those who want to destroy America. I mean, Antifa really is our exact opposite. They are. One of the things that I know from, if you read through the book of Psalms, you know what you're going to find? And you'll find this in other places in the Bible too. How that the wicked, they lay all the snares and the traps. They always fall in their own trap. And I do believe that the Obama administration, Hillary, the Clintons, the Soroses, and many others, the Bidens, the Pelosis, the Schumers of this world, they are complicit in setting up and building up, and Antifa built up during Obama's administration, during his 8 years. And there is no doubt in my mind that the liberal Democrats in this country help fund Antifa. No doubt in my mind. I don't have proof for it, but I don't doubt it. And what's going to happen is they stir up all these rioters and protesters thinking, well, that'll destroy Trump and his administration and we'll take over. But you still got these people to deal with. Because remember, you stirred them up with all their hatred, but your government, who do you think they're going to tear down next? You! I'm not just going to sit and let that happen. What agreement hath the, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? I don't. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It is very clear to me that this is a situation of right versus wrong, good versus evil in this country. Very clear to me. I support going after this cop stuck his knee on that. That's not standard police procedure. It's not. And the man had due process. He had a right, as did the Branch Davidians. They had a right to a trial. And that right was denied them. That right was denied them. So that's murder. That's murder. Clear, plain, and simple. It's murder. But after the first night of the protests, it ceased to be about George Floyd. And it started being about destroying the right wing of this country. Using Antifa, MS-13, you name it, whatever gangs they can use, that's what they're going to use. And I don't want it to happen. Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and there neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination of the Lord thy God. You see how even with clothing, God says, keep it separate. In the same chapter, verse 9, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. What did Satan do? As soon as God planted good seed into this world, the Bible says that he came and sowed tares. And when the blade was thrown up, brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Does that mean, since the devil did this, there's a clash now between wheat and tares, right? And we know the end product is going to be Antichrist. Does that mean that we should cease being who we are as Bible believers and as Christians and as patriots to our country? You know, you were born in America, or you became an American. God allowed that. I don't have a problem being an American. I'm not ashamed of it. I didn't choose it. This is where God put me. It's where I was born. But I'm not ashamed of it. And I won't be. I don't like everything my government does. I don't like everything Donald Trump did. But I'm an American. And I get to preach the gospel in this country because of the freedoms guaranteed me by our Constitution. And I will stand up for that. And I don't want to live in a world where that is taken away. I don't want to live in that world. So, I mean, you can see the Hegelian dialect right here in Matthew 13. The devil introduced tares, which are poison, intoxicants. And God's answer to it is, let them both spring up and let them then be transformed in the harvest. Because in harvest, they all change. Everything changes when it's ready to harvest. That's how we know apples are ready, and tomatoes. They go from green to red. Apples the same way, unless they're green apples. That's weird. Peaches the same way. I've been peach picking, and I can tell the difference between a ready peach and a not ready peach. Just touch it. Press down in it a little bit. Don't bruise it. Just touch it a little bit, put a little pressure on your fingers, and you can tell whether that peach is ready. And if that peach is ready, that's things going in my mouth. I've done it before. I'm telling you. Let me give you a Matthew 13:33. That's an interesting verse. 13:33. The whole thing's interesting. Another parable he spoke unto them: the kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, what does that verse mean? Let me tell you the number 3. And leaven together tells me that it represents lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And God is saying here, and it's in the same chapter, everything in Matthew 13 deals with seed. You have the grain of mustard seed, Matthew 13. You have the wheat and the tares, which are seed. You have the parable of the seed and the sower in Matthew 13. I mean, it's amazing. Chapters full of stuff. And in this one here, with the leaven. Well, leaven's like seed, too. It's bad seed. And she took the 3 measures. She took the leaven and hid it in 3 measures of meal. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And waited until the whole was leavened. What is God doing with the harvest? He's waiting on it. The tares have to show themselves who they are before they can be gathered up and destroyed. That's what God is waiting for. And I say unto you, it looks like it's pretty close. Looks like it's pretty close. That the kingdom of heaven, I think what he's saying here in this verse is that the kingdom of heaven is not going to come until sin has come to a full. I've never baked bread, but I know my dad got into it years ago. He was baking homemade bread, and we loved it. And I don't know how he knew, but when he added the yeast to the dough and he covered it, he knew exactly then when that loaf was ready to go into the oven. I guess it's by experience. You just look at it and you know it's ready. Well, that's what God's doing. He knows when sin has come to fruition, because then the man of sin is going to be revealed. And then God's going to begin his kingdom of heaven process. But there, you see the Hegelian dialectic right there. God said, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. They're opposites. Wool comes from animals, linen from vegetation. They're opposites. Revelation 9. Getting back to this, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and vice versa. We see then that the locusts that come out of the earth, and I'm going to have to close it down in a little bit, but I'm going to get rid of my my music. In Revelation 9, these locusts that come out of the pit, the description is given of them. Notice that they had the faces of men and the hair as of women. They are the fusion of the opposites in one entity. There is a spirit then, like a Hegelian dialectic spirit, that is orchestrating what's going on in this world. They want America destroyed, or America reshaped. And you have the good of America. And God bless even those protesters. Some of the black, there was a video released that I saw yesterday. Several people sent it to me. A guy who used to be part of Black Lives Matter and just kind of got out of it, he finally released a video and he said, y'all don't know. He said, the Black Lives thing, he said, it's all orchestrated by the liberal white Democrats who are not for us. They're for their own thing. And this was a young black man who organized Black Lives Matter, who organized a lot of protests. I've never heard of him before, but apparently a lot of people had. He came out and told the truth, and he said, all this Antifa and all this Black Lives Matter now, the way it is now, it's all set up by the white liberal Democrats, and they ain't for us. They ain't for us. He said they mean to start a war. And he said they're going against all the white people who own guns. And he said, y'all stay out of it. And you've got even the black protesters in all these cities, they're noticing that these Antifa people are all white people that coming in and are taking over their protests. And they're saying, they're not for us. One black lady saw a carload of people and they were handing out bricks to black people. And this black lady chased them down and said, you get out of here. Get out of here. What are you doing? You're handing bricks to these 14, 15-year-old kids? Man, I've done it now. There we go. They see these people who were protesting, legally protesting, the killing of a black man by a white cop. They see that their protest was taken over by Antifa. And they said, this quit being about George Floyd a long time ago. There are some very, very, very evil powers in this country, people, that want to use this. This is an election year. You understand what's at stake? And I'm telling you, the good versus the evil, the wheat versus the tares, the light versus the darkness, this is essentially what's going on. And the clash of those two is going to bring in the New World Order, the Kingdom of the Antichrist. But I'm telling you right now, I can't stand on the sidelines. I won't. I want my country back. I want my grandchildren, who I love dearly, to grow up in a world, in a country, where they have the ability to follow the gospel like their grandpa did. That's what I want for my grandchildren. My posterity. That's what I want. And when anything threatens the Constitution of the United States of America, I don't care where it comes from, I'm going to stand up against it. Now, I may lose. I may die. But I don't want to live in a world where I can't preach the gospel. I won't live in that world. I won't do it. Well, I better let you go. I don't know how much worse this is going to get. I know for a fact that, let me shut this off. I know for a fact that our president is about had enough. Now, what he's doing, he's showing that these liberal Democratic governors and mayors are all about destroying the people that they govern. Remember, let the tares show who the tares are. Let's show the world who you really are. And he's going to put a stop to this at some point. Where it goes from there, I don't know. I can't predict it. But I will tell you, I support putting a stop to Antifa and to all the liberal demoncrats that support the destruction and the treason against the Constitution The shame of it is that it took a billionaire playboy named Donald Trump to have the guts to stand against these people. Because we tried voting in politicians that we thought would put a stop to all that, and none of them did it. They just joined with them, or they decided to sit on the sidelines and get rich. So, yeah. I support him putting a stop to the liberal treason in this country. Because I want a country where my grandkids and my great-grandkids can hear the gospel preached. And I won't live in a country that doesn't have it. You gotta think Bible, people. You gotta get back to the scriptures. You gotta start reading it. Quit paying attention. Quit paying attention to the guy who says,
I'm the King of England, I'm the King of England, I'm King John the Third.
Quit paying attention to that. That's nothing compared to what's really going on. Okay? I love you. I gotta say the truth. I love you. I gotta say what the Bible says. Think